This program is sponsored by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries. Coming up on Financial Friday with Creflo Dollar.
God don't need your help. He needs your trust. You keep trying to help him, and he needs you to trust him. Your help is not moving the hand of God. You understand what I'm saying? It's your trust. Under the covenant of grace, it's already done. Provision's already there. Healing's already there. Deliverance is already there. It requires one thing for you to get it from there to here. Trust. You've got to be careful not to have more faith in what you can do for Jesus versus having faith in what Jesus has already done for you.
Also, stay tuned after the message to learn how you can join us in taking the message of grace around the world. Now, listen for breakthrough answers in this week's Financial Friday offer. Is the darkness you're facing a result of the choices you've made?
I am so serious about us renewing the spirit of our mind until we can see what God can do in areas where we've been trying to do something and we've had little to no results.
As children of God, we are no longer limited by this natural world.
Give God that opportunity to assume responsibility for the care of your life. He will care for you much more than you've ever been able to care for yourself.
In Creflo Dollar's Financial Friday Restoration of Power Combo, he gives you a step-by-step plan to prosper even in the midst of trouble. When you call, we'll also send you Seeking God for Your Care. In this message, you'll learn why the key is focusing on Jesus, not your circumstances. So, order this Financial Friday combo, Restoration of Power, for a love gift of $15 or more. Call now to secure this life-changing combo today.
I'm a world changer.
Now, from the World Dome in College Park, Georgia, here's Pastor Dollar with today's Financial Friday message.
We were talking about this past Sunday, some vital points about seeking God first. And it came up because God's made plenty of promises to us that he would take care of us and that he would bless us financially. And so what happens is sometimes you start focusing more on that, you forget to focus on seeking him. Now, that's going to be the key to everything. That's the key to every issue you have, is the fact that you can either allow the situations and circumstances to capture your attention and you start focusing in more on that than you do God. And when situations happen, what do you lean on? Do you lean on and trust on and rely on God as your source? Or are you consistently finding yourself leaning and relying on other things? And so we talked about, number one, the importance of having a single focus on God as your source in everything you do. A single focus. God is my source, no matter what happens, no matter what's going on, God's my source. Situation going on with kids, God's my source. Situation going on in a job, God's my source. Marriage, God's my source. Finances, God's my source. It's amazing to me how the world has different options. And some of them are an attempt to try to replace the anointing of God. And, you know, God wants to see if you're going to choose him. Are you leaning confidently and relying on him? So it's important to be focused on God as your source. Remember, whatever you focus on, you strengthen. And so you've got to be careful not to focus on weaknesses or focus on anything that'll hurt you. Whatever you focus on, you'll strengthen in your life. And then secondly, we gave you a warning about a divided heart. We wanted you to understand that it's important for you to seek God first and for you to understand that prosperity is a byproduct. It should never be the goal. Some people say, well, that's something pretty easy to do. Well, you know, you can say God is your source and you can say, well, I seek God first. But as long as you think you're the source of your prosperity and as long as you think you're the one that's causing this production of good to happen in your life, then your heart's going to be divided. Because, you know, on one hand, you'll say, well, you know, I trust God. He's my source. But then when financial issues hit your life, then you'll start thinking about what you need to do to fix and repair this thing. See, as long as you keep thinking that you are the source of your prosperity, and as long as you keep thinking that you're the source of the good in your life, then you're never going to be clearly focused on the things of God, and you're going to find yourself divided between God and your own attempt to perform and to do something to fix the issue at hand. So beware of a divided heart. Focus and keep a heart that is just steady and focus on God as the source of your life. Say it out loud again, God is my source. Then we begin to talk about that we've got to change the way we think about money, and we got to change the way we think about prosperity. And that thinking has to be a way of thinking that lines up with the Word of God. The difference between a man walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh is the way he thinks. You see, when you think in line with the Word of God, you're going to be walking in the Spirit. But when you think in line with something that goes against the Word of God, you're going to be walking in the flesh. Or most of the time, things that go against the Word of God will involve your performance, your self-effort, and what you can come up with to do to try to handle that situation in your life. And so you're going to have to change the way you think. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So you will literally become the way you think. And you've got to be careful not to think yourself into a situation that you've put God outside of that situation. Then we talked about the purpose of work, that we work in order to have something to give to those who are in need. That's according to 2 Thessalonians 3:10, Ephesians 4:28. We work so we can have something to give to those who are in need. And then we talked about that God kind of prosperity is measured not based on how much you have accumulated, but it's based on how many you have blessed. In other words, are you an instrument where the favor of God can flow through your life into somebody else's life? And then we talked about how God will evaluate prosperity by how much of a blessing you are in other people's lives. And then we ended up with honor and trusting God. As you honor God, as you trust God with your substance, then he guaranteed that so shall your barns be filled with plenty and your presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, I want to spend the time tonight, and I'm not going to keep you long tonight. I want to spend, well, I can't make that promise, but I want to spend some time talking about how God will assume the responsibility of taking care of you when you put seeking his face first. When you decide that I'm going to seek God's face no matter what, God will now assume responsibility for your care. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's pretty awesome. I want God to take care of me. I want God to take care of every situation. I don't want to compartmentalize. I want God to be able, that's a key statement, I want him to be able to take care of me. But the only way he's going to really be able to assume the full responsibility for your care is that you're going to have to decide, you know what, God, I'm going to seek you no matter what. God can take care of you better than you can take care of yourself. I said God can take care of you better than what you can take care of yourself. But he can't do that. He's hindered. He's not going to be competing with you. God's not going to keep. If you decide that this is what you want to do to handle this, and if you decide that, you know, I'm not going to consult God or believe him or walk with him and I'm just going to handle this on my own, then you're on your own. God's not going to compete with you. He's a gentleman. But if you decide I'm going to seek God and you're going to practice seeking God, you're going to practice automatically leaning on God. You're going to ask yourself a question in the midst of a hard time and in the midst of a challenge. Will I trust God in this? And, you know, there's always a temptation to murmur and complain about something or even to express a fear or a panic about a situation. But somehow in your life, the guy that's decided to trust God will grab hold of his emotions and say, you know what, Lord, I trust you for this one too. I believe you for this one too. This is gonna be fine. I trust you for it. Now help me to posture myself in a faith posture that says and communicates that I'm trusting God. You know, the thing I'm more concerned about when I talk about trusting the Lord is that it's been used so much that it's almost calloused in the hearing of people. Oh, yeah, I trust the Lord. Oh, yeah, I trust the Lord. And yet when Jesus took the rich young ruler and said, let's find out if you really trust me. Sell what you have, give to the poor, lay up treasures in heaven, and then come follow me. You know, this guy in front of everybody was falling on his knees and looking like he was trusting God. And Jesus says, I'm going to show you where your real trust is. It's in money. It's in your possessions. And so I'm asking you, all right, so we're talking about trusting God, and we know that if we can't trust God in the little, which Jesus said is the money, then you can't trust him with the big things. And this is not, well, I got to prove to God that I trust him. No. God already knows whether you trust him or not before you do anything. This is to prove to yourself that you can trust him, to get your heart out of the way where it's not condemning you, and you're proving to yourself, I can trust God, therefore I give. So there's no way you're authentically trusting God until you get to the point where you are giving. Your giving is your trust. Your giving is your trust. Jesus knew that you would be tempted to trust money then more than you would be willing to trust him. That's why he said you can't serve God and mammon. So in order to prove that I trust God, he says you're going to be a giver. When you give the thing that you're tempted to trust the most, that's when you've proven that you've trusted me, that you trust me. And so this whole issue that we've always focused on the money thing and not the trust thing, the issue is the trust thing. If I trust God, then I will trust him with the least. And Jesus said the least is money. So your failure to trust God in giving and receiving is your failure to prove to yourself that you trust God in healing you of cancer or delivering you from any other thing that you deal with in your life. I think the number one deal with God is this. He wants to be trusted. He wants to be your supply house. He wants to be the one to take care of all of your needs. That brings him great joy and great delight. What grieves him, however, is when he sees you accepting the responsibility of taking care of your needs and you've kind of put him out without giving him the opportunity to do what he will do so much better than what we can. I am convinced that no matter what in my life, my training every day is now, can I trust God with this? Now watch how you're acting, watch how you were acting, and watch what comes out of your mouth, because I want to make sure that I have the posture that I'm going to trust God no matter what. When you get used to doing stuff like that, then it becomes an automatic thing. And that's what the Bible talks about when he says the difference between renewing your mind and renewing the spirit of your mind. You can renew your mind by just kind of changing your thoughts. But when you renew the spirit of your mind, you renew your mind so deep that it moves automatic into the thing you renewed your mind to. Remember the illustration I shared with you about driving the clutch and the stick shift? You started off having to renew or think differently about driving. But the more you did it and the more you shifted stick and your clutch and you got the coordination down, it was something that you could do literally without thinking because it was so renewed in your system, you did it that way. Well, that's what I'm talking about. Can we get ourselves to a place where we automatically lean on God when things happen in our lives without having to think about it? Yeah, that's what I want to say. Without having to think about it, can I lean on God? Without having to think about it, can I trust him? Without having to think about it, can I rely confidently on him and watch him do what needs to be done? I am saying to you tonight, if you can accomplish that, then God will assume the responsibility of taking care of you. He will assume that response. That now will become his responsibility. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. That's what he wants. And that's what I want. I do not want my religion to stop God from being able to take care of me. My religion is mixed in with all of what I can do and all of my performances and all of my actions and my guilt and condemnation. That's my religion. No, I don't want that to get in God's way. I want to continue to work and to train in trust until the spirit of my mind has been so renewed that I automatically, without thinking about it, it's not even a thought, I trust God, this will be fine, and God has assumed the responsibility of taking care of you. Do you get that tonight? He's assumed the responsibility. And I tell you what, we want God to assume that responsibility of taking care of us. We just want him to do it, amen? And I'm not talking about just in financial things. I'm talking about when there are disagreements between husband and wife. Trust God. Trust God. I'm telling you, I have seen him do supernatural things in the lives of relationships that they can't even explain. But God got in the middle of it, and he changed this, and he changed that, and they didn't even know, and then they're just still, after 50 years, still married and loving one another. Supernatural forgiveness that God provides in that area. Where your children are concerned, you got to learn how to trust God. You get in the way sometimes of something that God's setting them up to be able to do something that's going to change them at that point and for the rest of their lives. But sometimes your fear and your lack of trust stops you from just letting God do what he needs to do, praise God. And then life-changing things begin to take place in their lives as well. So when I use the word trust, I'm not using it in a religious sense. I am so serious about us renewing the spirit of our mind until we can see what God can do in areas where we've been trying to do something and we've had little to no results. Give God that opportunity to assume responsibility for the care of your life. He will care for you much more than you've ever been able to care for yourself. And that's what the Bible meant when he said, cast all your cares on him. You see what he's saying? Why? Because he cares for you. Here's what I believe it literally means. As you cast all of your cares on him, you now give him the opportunity to assume care for you. And that's what we're looking for him to assume care. Now, I could talk until I'm blue in my face about how powerful this is, but when I finish, it's going to be up to you. I'm not going to have a down moment because I said something to you and you chose not to do it. I'm just going to keep saying it, you know, after 20 years, where are you trusting God? Yeah, I heard that before, but it ain't working. No, you don't get it, bubba. Okay, this is a real thing, not a religious saying. Amen. I trust God. Amen? Say it out loud.
I trust God.
Say it out loud.
I trust God.
Yeah, but are you a giver? See, that's the key right there, because if I ask you if you're a giver and you say you trust God, I can come right back and say, no, you don't. Because if you can't trust him in the least, then you cannot trust him in the much. You can't even trust him where giving and receiving is concerned, and you think you can trust him to heal you of cancer. Not going to happen. I didn't say that Jesus did. He said it is impossible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And what he was talking about was it's also impossible for a man that doesn't trust God with his money. It's impossible for him to take hold of the things or the resources of the kingdom of God. It won't happen. Okay? So, in 1 Kings chapter 17, I want to show you God assuming responsibility to take care of you once you put your trust in him. And I want to use tonight a character by the name of Elijah. In fact, he's not a character. He was a real man. He was a prophet of God. And Elijah had a lot of experience with God really taking care of him and with God really being committed to look at him. I want to start in verse 1 and just read on down to this because, man, you're talking about being taken care of. I mean, there was no doubt about it that God was the one that was taking care of Elijah. In verse 1, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was the inhabitants of Gilead and unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. So according to this word of this powerful prophet, he says, it's not going to rain no more until I say so. That's powerful, isn't it, man? All right, verse 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him, and here's what he said. Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook of Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall come to pass, or it shall be, that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So notice how he's surviving. He's drinking from the brook, and the ravens are bringing him breakfast and dinner. Ladies and gentlemen, that's powerful. But I can hear some Christians saying today, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but this is real life. No, that was real life. I mean, what do you think going to happen when you're the one responsible for it not raining? God says, I want you to go hide yourself. Trust me, hide yourself. I'm getting ready to take care of you. Trust me, hide yourself. And I'm going to have the ravens to feed you. and you're going to drink from the brook. All right, go to the next verse. So he went and he did. He went and he did. He went and he did. Turn to your neighbor and say, went and did. He went and he did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and he dwelt by the brook of Cherith, that is before Jordan, verse 6. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Boy, that's powerful. This is God taking care of him. Now, of course, you know, somebody says, well, what did he eat? Well, what does it matter? He ate. And that's what's wrong with us now. We're looking at what we eat. I don't want that. I tell you what, when it's a matter of survival, you'll eat it. I don't eat liver. Let's see. Let you go by 50 days not eating. That's going to be the best liver you ever had for in your life. The issue was not what he ate. The issue was fact, listen, that God was providing for him. God was providing for him what was necessary to stay alive. He hid him. He was protecting him. He gave him water, and he gave him flesh, and he ate breakfast, and he ate dinner. Somebody said, where lunch at? He ate breakfast, and he ate dinner. Okay? God helped him not to be hungry for lunch, all right? And now look at verse 7. And it came to pass, after a while, that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. So no rain, the brook dries up. All right, so what do we do? See, when you're trusting God, there are probably people in here who understand what I'm saying when I say the brook dried up. When you lost your job and the savings were gone and the brook dried up. Huh? Can I get a witness? And what do you do when all of your plans don't go through and the brook's still dry? Well, here's an illustration of a man who the brook's dried up, and let's see who he trusts. Look at the next verse, verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath. Now, let me stop for a moment. How many of you still believe in the word of the Lord coming unto you? I still believe that the word of the Lord can come to you. Quit looking for stuff in the mailbox and get on your face and see what the Lord got to say. Because one word can change everything about your situation. See, all you need is a word from the Lord. One word from God will change your situation. And God, you know, it's not that God doesn't speak in whole complete sentences, but he doesn't have to. He'll tell you exactly what he wants you to do. All right? So he said, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now, notice what God did. He said, I want you to go to Zarephath. I've already set you up. Already found somebody. Now, this is interesting to me, because on one end, God's trying to minister to you, but he got to set something up on the other end. That's why you got to learn how to walk with God. Because you might be ready for something to happen. You don't understand on the other end, he's trying to get that other side ready. That's why you just got to trust him. And when you don't see things happening right away, that's when you start worshiping him and thanking him and praising him, because you know it's already done, even though you don't see nothing right now. Your posture still remains the same. I trust God. And what I don't see is not going to cause me to back up on it. I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to show you something, devil. I still trust him. Thank you, Jesus. You begin to worship him because you believe you receive his care. Hallelujah. Say out loud, I believe I receive God's care for me. Say it again. I believe I receive God's care for me. God's